And perhaps this week sometime, pull that newer hymn up on YouTube and listen to it a few times so that next time we sing it, we can sing it with gusto. That is one of the things that I'm enjoying about our Psalter hymnal, our Trinity Psalter hymnal, is that we have the Psalms, which are filled with delight and joy as we stand before the Lord in the truths of His Word as He has delivered it to us, singing them together. And we also are able and led in singing a new song to the Lord, even as the Psalms give us encouragement to do so. Well, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians is where we are this morning, chapter 4. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help. Our Father in heaven, Your words are the words of life. In Your words, we have hope and peace, confidence and joy. In Your words, You have delivered to us all that You desire for us to know about You and all that You have required of us to walk in faithfulness before You. And so we ask that You would guide us in both of these, in learning more about who You are and growing in the knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and also in finding a deeper and fuller faithfulness as we grow in the knowledge of what it is that You have required of us. Grant us grace through the work of Your Holy Spirit now as we look to Your Word, to know, to understand Your Word. Illuminate to us so that we might be those who bring nothing to Your Word but our own failings and faults, laying them at the feet of Christ, and who take from Your Word everything that You have intended in Your sovereignty and grace for us to take from it. Guide us in this. Guard us in this, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, beginning there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Well, as you know, we started off the year by looking at Psalms 1 through 12, and then we had a short break from that as we looked at Holy Week and all of the joys that we have in celebrating the resurrection, not just then, but every Sunday. And then we moved into the Lord's Prayer, and we've been going over this for the past few weeks, and it started out with those words that we all know so very, very well, Our Father in Heaven, the invocation, the opening address of the example prayer that Christ gave to his disciples. And so we saw these two truths, that God is our Father and he is in heaven. And as we see the implications of those, we come to a faithful place of standing before the Lord in prayer. And then from there, we have this first petition, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. May all of my actions, my words, and even my thoughts be part of what hallows, makes holy, sanctifies, and consecrates your name above all names. And then from there, may your name be holy. This call then for the kingdom of God, this prayer that God would perpetuate his kingdom, that it would grow, that it would spread the world over, that it would come not only now, but in its finality one day. Your will then be done as the third petition. This desire that in my life may it begin. The will of God, what God is doing, what God is desiring. And we saw here that there are a number of implications for us in pursuing and even praying this prayer. May the will of God be done in me. We're committing to two things. First, that we will seek out the will of God in his word. Secondly, that as we find it, we will do it. And then we come after these three petitions, which all are about God's glory, God's reign, and God's will. Then there is this movement from these first three into then what follow. As we see now, the prayers are geared toward, under this umbrella heading of these first three, geared toward the needs of God's people and those around them. And so it is that we come to this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to consider this in three parts. First of all, we're going to look at Our Father in Heaven, who provides our earthly bread. Our Father in Heaven provides our earthly bread. Now you may be wondering, well, why are we looking at this from the perspective of Philippians chapter 4? Because in Philippians chapter 4, we have something of a picture, a description of what the filling out or the carrying out of this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, looks like. We have Paul providing an example of how it is that he has gone about faithfully praying and then putting into action this prayer, give us this day, give me this day our or my daily bread. Now we all know that food is something that is necessary for life. All of us love food. Some of us love food a lot. Some of us are really picky about our food. I have one of those. Some of us are not picky about our food. I have one of those as well. For the people of Christ's time and the surrounding generations, their realization, their experience of this need for food would have been very, very different from ours. What do we do when we're hungry? Well, we grab our keys, we go to the store, we swipe this fake little piece of plastic in exchange for very real goods, and that fake little piece of plastic does a fake to the bank account of someone else. This is the ease that is ours in purchasing our daily bread. At the time, this agrarian society was entirely dependent on whether or not the harvest came in, on whether or not there was drought and famine, or whether there had been rain and abundance. The reality that they would have had in praying, give us this day our daily bread, would have been very different from our experience of it. They didn't have pasteurization back then. They also didn't have the canning process that we do now. We can do what the people of Israel could not do. Buy stores and stores of food, stick it in a cellar, and have our provisions met for years to come. But the people at this time had a very real reality, which did them a very real service, that they had to look to the Lord each and every day for their provision. And in one sense, we're at a little bit of a handicap in this. We don't have that real-world, tangible reminder that we must depend. And so we've lost some of the immediacy of what we should be praying for in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God is the one who provides. Our Heavenly Father is the one who gives everything that we need. And not just food, but other provisions as well. Flip over with me, if you would, to the gospel according to Matthew. And in Matthew 6, which we covered recently as we looked at the Sermon on the Mount during our Sunday school hour, in Matthew 6, we have a description of God. And by the way, this is just following the prayer, as we see it there in 9 through 13 of Matthew 6. Just following this prayer, Christ continues to teach. Look there at verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And he goes on to describe how the Lord clothes the grass of the field. The Lord provides for every portion of his creation. How much more will he provide for those that he has called to himself? We don't need to worry about tomorrow because we have a God who is worrying about tomorrow for us. And by worrying, I don't mean he's being anxious, but I mean he is carefully tending to all of the future needs and the current needs that we have. Likewise, the next chapter, we won't go through it now for time's sake, but in verses 7 through 11 of chapter 7, we have this presentation that God, as our Heavenly Father, gives good gifts to his children. If we as humans can give good gifts, how much more can God, as our Heavenly Father, give good gifts to those who are his? James chapter 1 also, in verses 16 through 18, gives us the directive that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Isn't that something? Have you ever stopped to pause and think about this reality? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights. And not a Father of lights who turns on or turns off, who gets dim in one moment and is bright the next, but who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God has provided and kept his people in the past, so he will today, and so he will tomorrow. And this is the trust toward which this fourth petition is thrusting and pushing God's people. To trust in the name of God, the name of God that provides for all of those who are his. In our Old Testament reading, how much provision of manna did he give them? Just what they needed for the day, not what they needed for tomorrow. If he had given them what they needed for tomorrow, he would have been breaking his own effort toward communicating to his people the need that they had to trust in him each and every day. And so the question that we come to then is, do you look to God in this way? Many Christians, and perhaps some of us need to be convicted by this truth, many Christians come and feast on God's word once a week, if that. They'll come to Sunday worship. They'll hear the preaching of God's word, maybe miss about 20% of it because they're snoozing. Understand maybe 5% of it because they've not prepared their hearts. And often we say, this is enough. And what we end up with then is a beleaguered, malnourished, starved church of God that is called to arms to battle the forces of Satan. How long do you think they will last? Not a moment. Are we equipped? Are we intentionally doing all that is within our power to feed upon the nourishment of God's word? In our Sunday school lesson, we were reminded of the story of Joseph. What did he do in preparation for the 7 years of famine? They set aside, they prepared for during the 7 years of plenty. Are we, as God's people, doing all that we can each and every day to so nourish ourselves that when the battles come, we are able to handle them in the grace of the Lord. God's word is to us all that we need when it comes to our spiritual nourishment. Enacted and applied through the work of the Holy Spirit, this is what we are given. We're told to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I don't know if you've ever seen a broadsword, but they're pretty heavy. And if you ever see a really skinny person that's maybe small and malnourished, try to pick it up. It's not pretty. You try to put the armor of God on someone that is absolutely without structure and mass and muscle. Well, what is it? You have a skeleton inside some tin. This is nothing to be feared. Are we so seeking out God's word that we are an army of God's people going into battle? And when the enemy sees us, they see Christ at our front and us behind him, and they tremble. Or are we the ones who tremble? Seek out God's word. Delight in it. Feast upon it. Trust him for your daily provision so that you might be one who faithfully prays, give us this day our daily bread. And this brings us to the reality of what we have in our Father in heaven providing our heavenly bread. We've already gotten into some of this. So not only does our Father in heaven provide our earthly bread, but he also provides our heavenly bread. And of course, we think of Matthew chapter 4. Some of you have been for long stretches of time away from someone that you loved, or maybe even you've taken some time away from food for a good long while, either intentionally or unintentionally, of your own volition or forced upon you, hopefully not forced upon you. And what starts to happen when you're away from the people that you love? You start to yearn for them. It's a bit of an intangible feeling, but there's an ache in you that says, I desire to be with that person. Same with food, right? We have this gnawing, growling moment that always comes up when everything else is silent, whether it's during prayer or you're in a meeting and nobody else is talking, then all of a sudden, right? And we have these very physical, very real, very tangible reminders of a need that we have. Does your soul so desire, yearn for, and need God's word? When you are away from God's word for any length of time, do you notice it? If you don't, then you need to start adding to your diet. Because one of the things that we recognize is that, well, if you don't know what you're missing, how are you going to miss it? Read God's word so that you know what you're missing when you miss it, so that you might delight in it, so that you might, as the deer pants for the water, so your soul might pant for the word of the living God. Isn't this what Christ said to Satan? As Satan there in Matthew chapter 4 was tempting him, he said, here, I know you're hungry. 40 days, 40 nights, boy, you have had it through and through. I've got some bread for you. I mean, they're stones right now, but turn them into bread. Satisfy yourself. And what did he say? He quoted Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, and he said, no. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in verses 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy 8, we remember that there is, by way of preface and context, the story of the provision of manna for God's people, a heavenly food that was given for their spiritual nourishment. In this, we see the incarnation of Christ, don't we? We see that God, in providing in the flesh this man, this one who would be God, we see a spiritual reality, a heavenly reality, becoming an earthly reality. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God, and the Word was with God, and he came in the flesh. What is the Word of God to us? It is our spiritual food. Who is Jesus Christ according to his own proclamation in John 6? I am the bread of life. Just as we have in the Old Testament in Exodus 16, this story of a heavenly food, the food of angels, as it were, being given for the physical nourishment of God's people, for their spiritual truth and reality of trusting in him, so we see the heavenly man, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, coming to the earth so that we might feast on him as he calls us to, and delight in the provision and the nourishment that we have in God the Son as the Word of life, the bread of life, through whom there is no other path. We must see that in this we are called to seek out God's Word intentionally, as though it is a necessity, because it is. Thirdly, then, our Father in heaven provides the bread of life. Our Father in heaven, first, we see he provides our earthly bread. He also provides our heavenly bread. And in Jesus Christ, he provides the bread of life. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, we read these words. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. The cloud, that is, that was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness, out of Egypt, through the wilderness to the promised land. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. Put a thumbtack in that. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The people of Israel, in their exodus, in their wanderings, even in their disobedience, were given everything that they needed. But they didn't see Yahweh as their ultimate good. And that was a problem. God provided quail. God provided manna. God provided water. And yet they yearned for Egypt. God has provided for us the body and the blood of Christ. And yet we yearn for our sins. That Egypt that was our former life is attractive to us for some reason. That body of death, that enslavement to sin, we still look at it and say, yes, I want more of that. Because we don't see Christ as our ultimate good. Do you see Christ as your ultimate good? Or are the things of this world just a bit more shiny, a bit more decorated, and distract you from the one who's been set before you? Some closing questions. For those who are hungry, and by that I mean for those who are not making a regular practice of looking to God's Word for food and for nourishment, for those even who have never looked to Christ, there is joy, there is nourishment, there is life. Even as Christ with the woman at the well said, here is the water of life. I am the water of life. As he said, following the feeding of the 5,000, I am the bread of life. You must eat and drink of me. As we eat and drink of Christ and the spiritual joys and riches of his blessings that he has given to us, we find life. So if you are one who is hungry, come and feast on the grace of Jesus Christ. If you're one who is full, first of all, don't stay full. Make sure that as you find those moments, there are times of hunger as well. If we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, one of the things that we realize is that unlike our human stomachs, well, I guess it could be true, the more you eat, if you eat it with a human stomach, then it gets full and you stop for a while. The more we eat of God's word, the larger our stomach grows. And this is a good thing. As long as we don't become spiritually obese. This is one of the realities that we have given to us in Matthew 18, isn't it? Where you have this one who was forgiven a massive amount, who refused to show grace in the smallest way. And some of us are spiritually obese. We sit here every week. We read Table Talk. We listen to all of these podcasts, all of these things we do. But never do we go and proclaim the Word of God to a single soul with whom we interact. We feed and we feed and we gorge ourselves on what are marvelous riches of theology and God's word, of teaching that is well propounded and delivered. But are we extending then that grace to others? Are we showing and proclaiming to others those things that we know? If we're not, then even the grace that we have will grow stale and become rank, because grace was never meant to be static. Grace is always meant to be received and passed on. Are you extending the grace so that others might have their daily bread? Or are you keeping it all for yourself? Last thing, back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this: "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Now, what do all of these have in common with one another? All of these speak rightly and well of the word of life, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. So when we read Philippians 4:8, what we're really being told is, think of Christ. Feed on Christ. Meditate on Christ, because Christ is true. Christ is honorable. Christ is just. Christ is pure. Christ is lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Give us this day our daily bread. When you pray that prayer, do you really mean it? Or are you replacing the word day with the word week? We are to go to God every day and ask Him for help. Ask Him for nourishment, which He gives freely and delightedly in His word. Are you going to do it? Or are you going to say, "Thanks, Pastor. Nice sermon. Have a great week"? That's usually what happens. All of us are there at one point or another. We say, "Thanks, Lord, for your word, but no thanks." My boys eat food. They're going to eat us out of house and home, especially as they grow. They're 5 and 4 right now. They're still tiny. But they eat food delightedly and with a hunger that sometimes cannot be satiated. Does your hunger for God's word look like the hunger of a growing boy? Or is it, "Meh, I can do with or without"? Hunger for God's word. Delight in His provision. Knowing that it is only God who gives to you all that you have. And compared to what He has given, it requires so little, even when that little is all of us. Let us pursue the word of God together, delighting in its nourishment for His glory and the hallowing of His name, the coming of His kingdom, and the doing of His will. Our gracious Father, there are so many challenges in this life as we desire and attempt to pursue the goodness of your word, the nourishment of your word. We do praise you and thank you that you provide for us our daily bread, that you give to us what we need to eat, that you clothe us, that you protect us and guard us from the evil one. And we ask that you would first of all help us to see, to realize, and then to remember daily, and even moment by moment, that outside of you we have nothing and we can do nothing. That you are the source of all our provision. All that is good comes from you. And then secondly, as we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," help us to be a people who really and truly hunger for your word, hunger for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, whose body and whose blood gives to us salvation, nourishes us, and makes us so that we might be those who are built up and strengthened, so that we might do all that is according to your will and good pleasure as you work it in us. We commit this to you and to your sovereignty in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.